the sacred person, place, kund, or hill. And of all mountains, Govardhan is the king, Giriraj. Mountains signify an axis around which revolves patterns of thought, worship, religion, culture, principle. And in circumambulating Govardhan Hill, we are placing ourselves in harmony with that principle around which the Gaudiya Vaishnava doctrine revolves, which is Krishna's protection. And the ultimate protection is in the shelter of love, which is what Govardhan Puja celebrates. The heartbeat of Govardhan, who is a person, he is simultaneously Krishna and Haridas Varya, the best servant of Krishna. And his heartbeat can first be felt in a prayerful, contemplative mood here at Kusham Sarovara, where some of the most significant pastimes in the Dham transpired. Krishna enjoys a special flavor in his Prakat Lila, his manifest pastimes in the material world, because of his additional attraction they have above and beyond what he experiences in the spiritual world. And that is the stark contrast highlighting his luminous pastimes against the dark backdrop of material nature, rather than the luminous backdrop of the spiritual sky. And also the unreserved distribution of mercy to sadhakas, to demons, sadhakas and siddhas alike, which is not possible in the spiritual world where there are no demons or sadhakas. Kusham Sarovara is sacred for many reasons, including the eternal residence of Uddhava, who, in his own words, explained right here at Kusham Sarovara that when I was young and ambitious and arrogant, proud of my learning and devotion, Krishna sent me to Braj to humble my heart by the superior devotion of the Brajavasis. It was Uddhava alone who could detect that in the later pastimes of Dwarka Dham, which were unfolding to more and more perfect splendor, because after Siddhashram, Krishna actually brought the gopis to Dwarka and married them. And they reenacted the pastimes of Braj in Nava Vrindavan, the original New Vrindavan outside the walls of Dwarka, outside the palaces of Dwarka, in a secluded place. Now, was Krishna happy that the gopis were with him in Dwarka?
No.
He was not. Because he was torn by a conflict between the call of duty in defending the jadus and the yearning of his heart in protecting the cows. And even though there's cows in Dwarka, and other gopis are in Dwarka, where is that form of Krishna who plays the flute, whose crown is forest flowers, peacock feathers, a form rarely manifest in Dwarka, even in Nava Vrindavan? Krishna so much longed for home, reflecting on the joy of his infancy, boyhood, childhood, and youth, he could not be satisfied in Dwarka. So as the pastimes of Dwarka were unfolding in more full splendor, Krishna was dissatisfied in his heart. And gradually, indications of inauspiciousness were manifesting at work, which perplexed the brahmanas, who asked Krishna what to do. And he said, this is the beginning of the reaction to the offense to the sadhus committed by Samba and his friends. And to atone, we should go to Prabhas, to perform fruitive activities, given charity. And the jadus were very eager to go on this pilgrimage with Krishna, but Uddhava understood Vaishnava parad is not counteracted by pious activities. So he confided in Krishna, it appears to me that you are in the process of winding up your earthly life. And Uddhava's only plea was, take me with you when you go. And Krishna's response is, you are one of the few who has to stay. And the reason was, Krishna said, I haven't completed my mission on earth. Naranarayan Rishi and Bhadrik Ashram, as well as the sages residing there, are living for my darshan, which they'll never receive. You go there and grant them the priceless treasure which is beyond the reach of knowledge. That is the love of Vrindavan. Tell them of the love. Tell them how all of Vrindavan loves me. Reveal to them the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, Mother Jashoda, Sri Dhamma, and the cows, how they love them. Blinded by tears, and it was as if the earth had just disappeared from under Uddhava's feet. And he was dragged away by the Yogamaya potency, carrying him on his mission, not knowing how he could live in the absence of Krishna. After this, the clouds of doom cast longer shadows across the landscape of Dwarka. And Krishna led the jadus to Prabhas to perform their fruitive activities. And Uddhava heard, as he followed the Ganges north into the Himalayas, what had happened to his ancestors. The reeds on the shore grew into iron. The jadus were intoxicated and they annihilated one another with those iron reeds. After that, Balaram considered that now my purpose, the purpose of my lila, is now completed. And as he sat in meditation, gazing upon Krishna for one last time, as tears blinded both their eyes, a huge white serpent reached into the sky and performed his hypnotic dance and took Balaram back to Upper Golok. Now, with the absence of Balaram, there's no question of Krishna staying much longer in this world. So then Daruka fell at his lotus feet. And then he saw Krishna's personified weapons appear before him and then ascend into the sky. And then Daruka saw Krishna's chariot and horses and flag rise up to disappear, entering into Upper Golok. And he saw, I have no service now. He was the one who harnessed the horses and drove the chariot. And Krishna told him, go back to Dwarka. Tell the relatives of the Jadu warriors what has happened. He did. And hearing the fate of their relatives, Arjuna wanted to give up his life, but Daruka continually reminded him, Krishna has a mission for you as well. The remaining Jadus came to the carnage at Prabhas, searching out their relatives, entering into their funeral pyres, including Vasudev and Ugrasena. And then Krishna withdrew his visible presence from this world. He had given Arjuna one last mission: escort the queens of Dwarka to safety in Indraprastha. So Arjuna assembled the queens on the mainland, and then, as tremors shook the earth, ominous clouds darkened the sky, violent lightning spewed from those clouds, and thunder roared violently. It was as the earth was trying to shake off one last burden. And as the Jadus looked one last time at their city, their residence of Dwarka, the sea boiled up and the city slipped down beneath the sea waters. And as their tears mingled with the rain that was falling from the sky, and their loud cries of grief culminated in chanting Krishna's holy names, which gave them a moment of relief and peace. And then Krishna and Arjuna quickly led the caravan away from the seashore that had caused them so much pain, witnessing their city, their residence, their abode disappear after Krishna and Balaram had already left. On the way to Indraprastha, Arjuna, whose prowess is universally renowned, who has never been defeated in heaven and on earth, was arrested by a band of cowherd men, jeering at him, mocking him, grabbing the queens, and taking them away into the forest. Not all the queens, some of the queens. And as they screamed to Arjuna for help and protection, he found he had not the strength to string his good beaver bow. He called for his other weapons, but the first time they didn't answer. He remembered his celestial arsenal, but he forgot the incantation, which just made those cowherds mock him all the more, and the queens scream louder for his protection as they were dragged off into the forest. Who were those infidel cowherd men? Where did they come from? How did they know of Arjuna's losing all his prowess? Those cowherds were expansions of Krishna, who appeared to personally escort the Devakanyas back to their destination in the spiritual world. So by the time the caravan reached Indraprastha, Arjuna's humiliation had already been broadcast before him, and the queens had undergone such a series of traumas, just escalated. Arjuna told his brothers of Krishna's disappearance, and they all left on the path to the north, following the Himalayas in the footsteps their forefathers. Before he left, Maharaj Yudhisthira coronated Maharaj Parikshit as the emperor, and Vajra Krishna's great-grandson, the king of Mathura. Vajra invited and protected the queens in Mathura, where those queens who, because of all the traumas they had just undergone, would have welcomed death, but found that one of their sisters, Kalindi, was exceptionally joyful and maintained a blissful countenance through all the disasters. He said, how can this be? She said, you all know me to be Jamuna. You may not know, I am Vishaka the Braj, the dearmost maidservant of Srimati Radharani, born to the same moment as she and endowed with her virtues. And I was there in Brajadam when Krishna sent Uddhava to teach us how to see Krishna always. And you can also invite Uddhava to teach you how to see Krishna always. And the queens were more perplexed. We were in Dwarka, and we witnessed when Krishna sent Uddhava to Badrik Ashram to preach Braj Bhakti to the sages who would then disseminate it to the world. What do you mean? Should we go to Badrik Ashram? He said, no. Uddhava resides in another form, just close by on the banks of Kushab Sarovar. And he will appear if you sing kirtan with great love and devotion, because he loves kirtan, and he will join you. So Vajra escorted the queens to the bank of Kushab Sarovar. They bowed down at the sacred lake, and Vajra opened the royal storehouse of all musical instruments so the queens could pick their favorite. Maharaj Prickett led the kirtan. And by the influence of the Dham, he felt an ecstasy he had never experienced before. And then, as the queens responded to his kirtan with musical accompaniment, he felt his heart soaring into the firmament and his voice resounding through the Dham. And then, impelled by the ecstasy of kirtan at the foot of Govardhan, he felt himself being drawn on Govardhan Parikrama with Maharaj Prickett and Vajra and the queens of Dwarka. And he had never experienced such a focused, absorbed, devotional congregation, which made that kirtan so exceptional. And as the kirtan reached its crescendo and then fell off into, dwindled into silence, only the holy name reverberating on the lips of the queens, Maharaj Parikrama saw the queens all looking in one direction. Eyes open wide and amazing. He turned to see what they were envisioning. He saw like a subtle form, like a mist rising off the water and taking human shape. And this human form had a dark complexion and wore yellow garments, had lotus eyes, a garland of lotus flowers, a beautiful face. Maharaj Prickett was thinking, this great soul has achieved Swarupya Mukti and therefore has a form just like the Lord. And as he approached, Maharaj Prickett asked, who are you? You all know me. I am the insignificant servant of those exalted servants of the servants of Sri Krishna. I am that same Uddhava who, in his youthful arrogance, was sent by Krishna to Braj to be humbled by the superior devotion of the Vrijavasis. And when Krishna dispatched me to Badrik Ashram, and I was so devastated, he also fulfilled my deeper desire. Because those months in Braj were the best part of my whole life. And I yearned to stay there eternally, as a blade of grass. Because the gopis would never give me the dust of their feet, because they're cowherds, and I'm royalty. Krishna's counselor, his cousin, his diplomat. I cherished the aspiration to become a blade of grass, to be dusted by the feet of the gopis, and watered and nourished by their tears of separation. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. And I'm here, eagerly anticipating each day. Will Nanda Maharaj herd the cows here? Will the gopis come here to play? Or will the gopis return to pick flowers? And my aspiration is being fulfilled. And even the pilgrims are dusting my head with the dust of their feet. And this is the fulfillment of all my aspirations. So a long question and answer period ensued. And Maharaj Pariksit always had one thing on his mind, which he finally asked. What was Krishna's last thought and desire as he was departing this world? And Uddhava said, Krishna, as he was leaving this world, was thinking of Madhura. Because he alone, amongst all the Kurus, would not participate in Vaishnava Aparad for the sake of worldly gain. He was thinking of Vidura, wanting that he would hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which he would shortly do. Maharaj Pariksit was a little perplexed. He wasn't thinking of his queens. And it said, Krishna is always thinking of the welfare of his queens, which is why he has ordained that they come here as their point of departure from this mortal realm by the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. I will narrate Srimad Bhagavatam for the welfare of these queens. Maharaj Pariksit was elated, thinking that he would hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Uddhava. Uddhava told him, Kali Yuga has begun. Nothing virtuous will transpire in this age without tremendous opposition and adversity. You can't hear the Bhagavatam now. You must patrol the kingdom and be vigilant for the appearance of Kali, who has already arrived. Otherwise, the queens will not benefit. The recitation of Bhagavatam will not be complete. Devastated. He had come so close to seeing and touching that person since the time in his womb he had been searching for. And now Uddhava is instructing him to go hunt down the devil. He said, no, you will hear Srimad Bhagavatam soon enough from Shukadeva Goswami. This recitation of Bhagavatam will only deliver those here assembled at Kushim Sarovara. You will hear Srimad Bhagavatam soon enough, and your name will become inseparable from the Bhagavatam. And when you hear the Bhagavatam, all the sages from the universe will hear it and take it back to their planets as well. So Maharaj Pariksit was happy. He would hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Uddhava began crying. Maharaj Pariksit didn't know why. Because he knew that as soon as he finishes the Bhagavatam, he's going to depart this world. Not lost for him, lost for the world, who will never again have such a protector as Maharaj Pariksit. So Maharaj Pritha departed. Vajra ascended a nearby hill to stand watch locally. And Uddhava began his narration. As he explained the philosophical truths of the Bhagavatam, the queens instantaneously assimilated them all. As he explained the process of creation, maintenance, and destruction, the queens saw the whole process unfolding before their eyes. As Uddhava explained the pastimes of the different avatars of Krishna, the queens saw those avatars. And as Uddhava began Krishna's Braj Lila, the queens found themselves seated on the bank of Kurushim Sarovara beneath the Sharat Purnim sky. And they found themselves seated amongst the gopis. They experienced the Rasa Lila and Krishna's disappearance within that Lila, the frantic rush into the forest, the devastating anguish of separation, the songs of separation, Krishna's reappearance, the joy of reunion, and then the questions and answers that follow. As the gopis ask Krishna questions, alluding to the fact that he is cruel, and him explaining the nature of his mercy, which can only be understood through realization. So the queens were hearing the gopis' songs, and Krishna was moving in and out of the assembly like an orchestra conductor directing everything by the magical influence of his flute. Sometimes you would be before the gopis listening to what they had to say. Sometimes you would be answering their questions. Sometimes you would be hiding behind a tree or a rock to hear what they were saying amongst themselves. And that dialogue reached its crescendo with that most special and for us significant verse in the Gopi Gita, the Tavaka Tamritam Tapta Jivanam. O my Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your pastimes is the only life and soul for those who are stranded in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and hearing them eradicates all misfortune. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent of all welfare workers. The queens were not only hearing the discussion, they were actually feeling and experiencing deeply the emotions of the gopis. They did not lose their identity of queens, but that identity was deeply enriched by the Braj Bhakti, which excels in the gopis of Vrindavan. At this point, and even Uddhava, he was experiencing and realizing things that he never knew in the response to his recitation by the queens in what they were feeling through the gopis. And when the ecstasy reached such a climax that everyone was so deeply immersed in Braj Lila that they had no other identity or concern or thought, the gopis disappeared, the queens transitioned into the Aprakata Lila, Vajra resumed his eternal place on the left sole of Krishna's foot, Uddhava returned to his form as a blade of grass, and Krishna set out in search of those who could help him understand more deeply the purport of this Tathagatamrita verse. Krishna left to search out devotees who were discussing his pastimes to hear what they had to say. This is one of the pastimes here in Kusha Sarovara, which was created by the touch of Krishna's flute. Because when he was arrested by the gopis for impersonating a constable who was empowered by a fictitious king, he said, he's a criminal. And they arrested him and sentenced him. He had to raid Srimati Radha's hair, which is exactly what he wanted. So, right, there was no lake here at the time. It was just an open grove. There was flowers and peacock feathers and pearls and everything to braid her hair, but there was no water to purify all these items. There's plenty of things right nearby, but Krishna did not want to lose the opportunity by having to travel even a short distance. He touched his flute to the earth, and called the holy waters of creation to fill it. He purified those ingredients and proceeded to braid Srimati Radharani's hair. And it is the confidentiality of the pastimes, the Kusha Sarovara, which qualifies it to reveal the heartbeat of Govinda. And here is also where, on a Sunday morning, when the gopis arrived here to pick flowers, because they heard a rumor that Krishna was in another place and they would pick flowers here and make and then meet him where he was supposed to be. But rumors cannot always be trusted, especially when Krishna makes rumors, because they usually have some ulterior motive. So he was hiding in a kadamba tree, and as the gopis fanned out to pick flowers, Krishna pressed his foot against one of the branches of the tree. By the touch of Krishna's foot, that branch burst into bloom with the most exquisite kadamba flowers anywhere in Pushpavan. So Srimati Radharani naturally went and reached up to pick those flowers with one hand, holding her basket in the other. And when she reached up a little higher to bring the branch down a little bit lower, Krishna moved his foot, the branch sprung up into the air, took her off her feet, and then Krishna disappeared from the tree and reappeared walking up the path to ask, "O Queen of Varshana, what are you doing? Are you performing some new kind of tapasya in the air to bring me under your control?" And she demanded, "Krishna, take me down." He said, "Shouldn't you ask a little bit more respectfully? Because I'm a prince. I'm not accustomed to lifting weights. So if you expect me to bring you down, shouldn't you ask more respectfully?" She kept calling out to Lalita Vishaka, who were very nearby, but by the influence of someone's yoga maya, they couldn't hear a thing. So Krishna said, "If you're just going to order me around and can't speak politely, I'll just return to the cows who seem to want me more than you do." And she just called out, "Krishna, you have turned me into your dancing puppet. Please rescue me from this predicament." At that time, her lotus feet were dangling in the air right at the level of his heart. As he approached, he took that dust, which he so much cherished, and placed upon his heart, and brought her down from the tree,
Sita and Vishaka were actually observing from their own hiding places how Krishna was such gentle, loving, respectful motions. He brought her down in the tree and placed her again on the ground. And with his hearing these pastimes, Uddhava, who lived at Radhakund during his stay in Braj, who would go out to different regions of the Dham from that location, and he heard about these kinds of pastimes that Krishna was over, and determined that that was his choice of eternal residence as he continues to live here in the form of the grass. Shri Uddhava ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.